This is the Recency Bias. Welcome back to your morning after mini pod. I'm Zach Vanoss, host of the Recency Bias, co-host of the Big Pod, the Montreal Bias, back for another season of your Montreal Canadiens, the 2021-2022 season. Good to be back. We're going to have a bit of a strange episode of the Recency Bias this time out, I gotta be honest. And I was debating whether or not to even talk about this on the show, or if it was appropriate, but it felt completely wrong to start another season without talking about it. I know a lot of you, many of you at least, have been listening to the show for over a decade now that Sean and I have been doing. You've heard us talk about our weddings and, you know, throwing out details here and there about our lives. So I just needed to, before we go into another Habs season, to talk about a little bit of shit in my life. This past summer, my wife passed away. Taryn, who anyone who's been listening to the show for a while has probably heard about or even heard on this show. She never listened to the show, but she was on it a couple times at the very least. She made several appearances just through background noise, be it pots and pans in the kitchen or whatever, rustling around, closing doors. She made literal appearances on this podcast during the Hockey Wives segment when that show was on for a minute. She came out, she did one episode recap, and this is somebody who, when she was sick and in the hospital, and even prior to, she watched every season of Real Housewives possible, so she only was able to stand like two episodes of Hockey Wives. I'm not sure what that says about that show, or their inability to get any drama. But yeah, she passed away, she was sick for a couple years now. But it was still shocking and surprising and unexpected when she passed away this August. And, you know, for those of you who've been listening for a couple seasons now, she got sick a while back. And you may remember I just said for personal reasons I wasn't going to be doing the podcast anymore for a while. And that was why. And even I missed a few games here and there during the Habs' run to the Stanley Cup Final this past summer. And that's why, you know, she went into the hospital just as the Habs were starting the Stanley Cup Final against Tampa. But, yeah, I just, it didn't seem right to not kind of at least address it at the beginning of the pod before I went into another season. One, largely because I don't know how I'll feel about doing this podcast. Right now it feels something reliable. It's something to concentrate on. A few nights a week gives me something to do. But if the podcast up and disappears at any point with no real explanation, it's just because it wasn't working for me, for the time being. But right now, I'm happy to be back, happy to be doing it, happy to be talking to you all again, and having you as listeners. And you know, when she was sick this past summer, the Habs run and doing this podcast, I think I haven't mentioned it on the show a few times, you know, it helped get me through. And I've eulogized Taryn a few times now over. We've had some really beautiful wakes for her. And, you know, so I've done the eulogy. And this isn't in the forum or the spot for that. So, you know, but, you know, she was the best. She was great. And I love her so much and I miss her so much. But I don't know how to make a transition from this opening back into talking about games 1 and 2 of the Habs season. There's no smooth way to do it, so I'll probably just do it. But yeah, to provide an explanation if this thing just goes away, and I offer nothing there. It just wasn't working anymore. And two, just because, you know, as I said, probably during the Habs Stanley Cup final run, a lot of people reached out just during the run that I hadn't heard from in a while, and the pandemic played into that, and that was nice. And you know, some people I'd never met in real life, don't know at all, but just reached out on Twitter or anything else. And yeah, after a decade of doing this thing, and I know people are listening, and I think, you know, sometimes develop relationships with Sean and I that we might not know about, but, you know, a lot of us have said to you, it's like having a couple of friends just hanging out, listening to the game or talking about the game, and I debated whether or not to even talk about it, but as I said from the get-go, like, it felt really strange to dive into another Hab season. And doing the podcast at my normal volume and everything else. And not address it in some way. So, you know, that's obviously been a distraction. I guess that's the wrong word, but the Hab season snuck up on me. I wasn't at all ready for game one. You know, generally Sean and I would have done a podcast previewing the season. And Sean and I, he lived with me for a month after T passed. He was here. He was going to be living here one way or another. Working on during the federal campaign. He was going to be in Toronto, so he's going to be staying with me. But, you know, I think in normal circumstances, we probably would have banged out a couple pods here or there, especially the Cock and Yammy thing was happening during that time and whatnot, but we didn't, for what is now, I assume, obvious reasons to you. But yeah, Sean and I will hopefully get a pod up probably this weekend, previewing the season, even though there'll be a few games in the bag, as there already are at this point, and get things back to our as normal as we, as regularly as we schedule these things. But again, if it goes away, you'll know why, for the time being. And, you know, maybe it'll just be a matter of needing a break and I'll come back. Or maybe this will be something that, that I do even more consistently this season. You know, it is nice to feel a sense of, there's a little sense of community around the pod, there's always, of course, a sense of community around supporting a team. So we'll see. All that to say, I guess we'll see. And to let you know where I'm coming from as we start another Canadian season. Again, I just wasn't ready for it to come back. Part of that, obviously, being the Canadians, we went further than I'd have seen in my real watching life. Then you add to the fact that the Canadian season, or the entire NHL season, went later than normally would because of the pandemic and because they got the late start. So suddenly October 13th came out of nowhere on me. I was not ready for the game. I went back home to the Eastern Townships for a week around Thanksgiving and had no realization that the season was that imminent, or that on Wednesday, while the Leafs and Canadians kicked off the season, I would be on a train traveling from Montreal to Toronto with no access to the game at all. So I did on Wednesday night. I watched the game much later, PVR'd it and watched it when I got back at around 11:30. So was thinking I would do a pod with this whole preamble, but then it was 1:30 at night, and I'd been working and then traveling all day, so didn't have it in me to do that. But glad after game 2 to be climbing back in the pod box doing another one of these recency biases, bringing back the morning after mini pod for another season. Unfortunately, for your Montreal Canadiens, a season that is not off to a very good start. A very different season than the start to the 2021 season, where the Canadiens looked like world beaters. And in fact, it was their start to the season that enabled them to even get into the playoffs, which of course in the end enabled that incredible run all the way to the Stanley Cup final, where apparently I've been told they lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning, though I've seen no evidence or proof of that, so do what you will with it. My gosh, the changes that Sean and I have not addressed yet, though, in the offseason. What a wild offseason. We did jump on at least one or two pods, I think, during the offseason. Probably one, let's be honest, it was probably one. So we didn't touch on so many things. And the last conversation I think we had on this podcast was the Seattle Kraken not taking Carey Price. That was the last big conversation. Of course, just days after that, the Habs made the ridiculous choice of taking Logan Mailloux in the first round. And things just kept kind of going from there. Kotkaniemi is now with the Carolina Hurricanes. Christian Dvorak has joined the Habs. Tatar is gone. Deneau is gone. Drouin is back. Suzuki, boy named Suz. He's a rich boy named Suz now. Congratulations, son, on your first big paycheck. And then there's guys like Savard and Weidman on the team. Hoffman, who has not made his official debut with the Canadiens yet, but he's been added. So a lot happened in that offseason. Carey Price will not be playing for at least the next month or so. Whole bunch of stuff went into the lead up to this season, but here we are diving right into it. Two games into it already, the Canadiens find themselves 0-2 to start the year. First game against a team that could very likely find itself atop the Atlantic Division when the season comes to an end in the Toronto Maple Leafs, a team who were up 3-1, as you may recall, and if not, I will bring it up right now, a team that they were up 3-1 on your Montreal Canadiens in the first round of the NHL playoffs, this most recent playoffs. And what happened was the Habs went on to win that series in seven games and then marched their way to the Stanley Cup final. Leafs sadly did not do what I was hoping they would do, which is absolutely implode at the fact that they once again failed to get out of the first round. They kind of stayed the course, unfortunately. And then, of course, game two, losing to a team that could very well finish dead last in the Atlantic Division, the very, very bad Buffalo Sabres, though that wasn't what it looked like on Thursday night as the Canadiens were playing an American team for the first time in quite a while. But first, let's talk about that game one again, a 2-1 loss in Toronto as the season gets going. The shots were 32-30 for your Montreal Canadiens in that one as Jake Allen went up against Jack Campbell. But it wasn't to be on a night for the Canadiens that just didn't roll their way at any point. New notebook, by the way, for the new season. I gotta say, I liked the things I saw from the top for the Canadiens in game one as the Dvorak line immediately created a couple chances in those first 3 minutes. Of course, when I say the Dvorak line, what does that mean these days? It means Anderson, Drouin, and Dvorak. They were creating some opportunities. I am excited about the Dvorak era. I miss Deneau. I think we're really going to miss Phil Deneau. But I do think there's something to be said for this Dvorak. The Leafs would get the first power play of the season between these two clubs, but they didn't make anything of it. It was the Habs who would strike first. And who else, if you're scripting this thing, it was Jonathan Drouin, 1-0. Sadly, that would be the Habs' only goal of the night, as Anderson and Kulak would pick up helpers on it. Canadiens would let the Leafs back into this thing before the first 20 minutes were over. Romanov would get called for interference midway through that period. And 10 minutes and 13 seconds in, it was a power play goal. No, it wasn't a power play goal. Yes, it was. Who cares? I don't care about the Leafs statistics. Either way, as that power play was finishing the last seconds of it, it was Engvall making it 1-1. Leafs even go off the post with about 8 seconds left in that first period. Shots were 9-9, score was 1-1. But you started to wonder a little bit. Second period, there wouldn't be much going on in that middle frame. The Habs would get their first power play of the season. That one came 8 minutes into the frame, but not much to say about that either. Habs power play hasn't done much for the first couple games here, but maybe Hoffman will make a difference there. Hoffman was brought in to be something there. Into the third period, and just over a minute in, Nylander with a wrister to make it 2-1. As I already told you, that would be the final score. 5 minutes into that frame, Gallagher would draw a penalty from Spezza, the Habs' second power play of the game, and then Mitch Marner immediately got called for tripping on Weidman. It was a Canadiens 5-on-3, one of 2 5-on-3s in the first two games of the season, but in both scenarios, as we'll visit when we get to the Buffalo Sabres game, the Habs came up short. They had chances, at least, against the Leafs on Wednesday night in their 5-on-3, but just couldn't capitalize and really only generated one shot. They'd get another power play with 9 minutes to go. Once again, this one was Nylander going to the box. Nothing to show for. I'm telling you, Nylander, he's always going to be a Montreal menace. That's the thing about Nylander. I don't know what he's going to be overall for the Leafs, but I think it's apparent that he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be a problem for the Canadiens for a long time to come, at least as long as he is with the Maple Leafs. So again, they lose that one 2-1. A solid performance from Allen, who's obviously cast in a bit of a different position to start this season, as he will be carrying the bulk of the load with Carey Price out for, again, at least a month. It was a good game from Allen. Can't really complain too much about anything. It wasn't a bad game from the Canadiens overall. It wasn't the most exciting game between the Leafs and Habs by any stretch. A 2-1 score that wasn't exactly a goalie's duel either. We'll speak to that. But it wasn't terrible. No, terrible we'll have to reserve for what happened on Thursday night as the Canadiens headed just south of the border. Yes, finally traveling beyond Canada. Well, I guess they did last year, didn't they, when they went to the Stanley Cup final. After I said all that off the top, I realized, wait a second, they played Vegas and Tampa Bay. Just didn't feel, that was a regular season, is what I'm getting at. Game 2 sucked. The Canadiens looked really, really bad. I truly doubt the Buffalo Sabres are good, but the Buffalo Sabres looked like they had a lot more chemistry, a lot more click, a lot more everything than the Habs on Thursday night. 5-1 was your final in that. Shots were 32-29 in favor of the Sabres. Do you want to hear anything else? It's too early to get into the advanced stats. We're not going to do advanced stats for either of these first couple games. It's all just noise right now. Until we start to see some repetition, until some patterns start to form that we can make any sense of, we won't quite dig into the advanced stats yet. We'll let that tell the story a little bit further now. This one saw Sam Montembeau going against Craig Anderson, and I'm sorry, Montembeau, this isn't a funny joke, it's not even a joke, it's not anything, but I can't help, I'm just going to call this guy Montembeau. That's just what's going to happen. Sam Montembeau, that's who he is to me. Making his debut, it's been a minute since the Montreal Canadiens had a French Quebecer start between the pipes for them. So Montembeau in a rough night, as you can tell by that 5-1 score. But 5 minutes into the game, it was Cedric Paquette taking his first penalty with the Habs. And while Evans made nothing of a really good chance that he created, Okposo would count before the power play would expire. The shots were 6-1 Buffalo at that point, as Okposo made it 1-0 for the home team. The Habs get a power play with 12 minutes to go in that first frame. Still looking for their first power play goal of the season again, hoping once Hoffman eventually arrives, he'll help out with that. Haven't looked all that convincing on the PP as of yet. Okposo would go off a post with about 2:51 left in the period. That was not the last we'd hear of the Sabres attempting to strike before the first 20 minutes were over. Gerkensens, he would redirect one off Colin Miller. The Habs quickly spinning down 2-0. They would take a penalty immediately after that. At least the Habs' penalty kill looked decent enough during that moment anyway. Not a great night for them either, as they allowed 3 power play goals. But it was 2-0 through 20 minutes in Buffalo. And the saddest part of all that is apparently the Buffalo Sabres are allowed to choose. Each individual player on the Sabres has chosen their own specific goal song for the season. Now, I don't think that's necessarily a terrible idea. I like the idea of letting the players choose their own goal song in some way. I think it's good to show personality in sport, create that connection with fans. I think it helps grow the game. I think hockey players in particular have absolutely dog shit taste in music. So that's one reason to maybe not let the players themselves choose. But okay, let's move past that and acknowledge that I'm a music snob. But secondly, and more importantly, the Buffalo Sabres, as you've heard me talk about on this podcast many times in the past, have the single greatest goal song in all of sport with Let Me Clear My Throat. And they have let that go. They have given that over to a bunch of white boys from Canada to choose their own songs. I don't know. Disappointing. Let Me Clear My Throat, that's available now, anybody. That can be your goal song anywhere. The Buffalo Sabres have relinquished it in a shocking move because it was, frankly, all that that team had going for them at this point. Montreal Canadiens didn't have much for them going after 20 minutes of play. And guess what? Things wouldn't get any better the rest of the way. 2 minutes 47 seconds into that second period, the Habs get another power play chance. Guess what? Nothing to show for it. Power play not looking good, and the penalty kill not helping out either. 26 seconds of 5-on-3 for the Habs again proved nothing. However, the Canadiens would get on the board. The fourth line on the ice, the third pairing of D-men on the ice, and the Canadiens have found their first goal of the game, just their second of the season, and it's Weidman, whose trip at 31 years old, in and around the NHL, has been pretty crazy. Obviously came into the, you remember him from his NHL days, he played in the KHL last season, looked good there, and here he is back with the Montreal Canadiens and scoring to cut the lead in half. The answer, though, was not that convincing from the Canadiens, despite cutting that lead in half. Immediately, the Sabres go out, get a 2-on-1. Montremblant, he's solid in nets on that occasion. But with 4:06 left and the Sabres going on a 5-on-3 power play of their own, it would technically expire, much like that first power play goal, or was it not a power play goal that we were talking about in the Leafs game? Doesn't matter. It's behind Montremblant. And the Sabres have a 3-1 lead. Then it really came apart at the seams for the Habs. With 55 seconds left in that second frame, it was Gergensen's. He blocks a shot on Drouin. It goes the other way. Sabres down the ice. And it was 4-1. I abandoned taking notes at that point. There's baseball playoffs on. There was Thursday night football on. So that was when I quit on game two of your Montreal Canadiens season. Apparently it finishes 5-1. Not a very good start to the season for the Habs. They will be coming back to the Bell Center for a full house at the Bell Center. People really back in the building. They'll be hosting the New York Rangers on Saturday night. We'll be doing the old recency bias, I expect, after that one. Look, it's two games in. We're doing the full 82-game march this year, so every game matters significantly less than it did last season. But no, not a great start to the season for Dom Ducharme and his squad. Not what you would have wanted to see out of the gate. The 2-1 loss to the Leafs, okay, fine. That was what it was. The 5-1 loss to the Buffalo Sabres. I don't know, maybe the Sabres will turn into an absolute juggernaut this season, finally figure out their problems, no longer be the absolute laughingstock of the NHL, but also maybe not. That was a rough game for the Canadiens on Thursday night. Hopefully returning to the friendly confines of the Bell Center with a house full and really rocking and everybody still riding off the high of that Stanley Cup final trip last season could turn fortunes around. Not a good start in a season where I don't know what to expect from this Habs team. And Sean and I are going to endeavor to do an episode of the Big Pod this weekend and talk about our expectations and look a little bit back at the offseason that was. And, of course, look forward to what we think we'll see from the Canadians, or if we have any idea what we think we'll see from the Canadians this season, we'll try to parse that out on that episode. Because I don't know. I have to sit down and talk to Sean about it. I don't know what to expect from the Canadians this season. They could be a good team. They could be a terrible team. Maybe they'll be a middling team. Right now, not a very good start. 0 wins through their first 2 games in just as many nights. You can find me, as always, on Twitter, at ZachDropsTweets. Of course, for this podcast, it's at the Montreal Bias and at Rabid Habs, which will be bringing you content for yet another Montreal Canadiens season. Be sure to check that out, rabidhabs.com. Who knows what kind of guest or what we'll get up to on the Recency Bias and the Big Pod, the Montreal Bias, all season long. We shall see. Canadiens hopefully look a little better from here on out, because those first 2 games didn't give us a lot of good to talk about. All right. Until next, take care. We'll be right back.